President Bush wants to rescue Social Security.
Objection, Your Honor. Assumes facts not in evidence. Social Security is not in any danger. Certainly does not need to be rescued at this point. Please instruct the asshole to quit lying, Your Honor. Thank you.
He asked for all ideas to be put on the table.
Objection, Your Honor. The monkey has seen a problem that does not exist and is demanding that others supply answers to a problem that he has fabricated in his small monkey mind.
But can you think of any ideas that national Democrats have offered? Go.
I know. I got some answers. Call on me. Hey, over here. Hey, I got some answers. Right here. Hello. Right here. Call on me. Hey, over here. Hey, I got some answers. Right here. Hello. Right here. Hey, I got some answers. Right here. Hello. Right here.
Democrats have no solutions for Social Security.
Right here.
None. Tell Congress that Social Security is too important for partisan games.
I suggest we tell Congress to tell the monkey keep his goddamn hands off of something that's not broken. It's worked good for about 70 years. It's going to work for another 40 without him getting his thieving bloody hands on it. Look what he did to the Treasury. Look what he did to America's reputation. Look what he did to the armed forces. Look what he did with the war in Iraq. Look what he's done with everything he's touched. He's a walking disaster with no brain, and he steals everything he gets near.
Yep. Looks like the drain is clogged. Only one way to fix it. We're going to have to tear down the entire house.
What?
If you had a problem with the kitchen sink, you wouldn't tear down the entire house. So why dismantle Social Security when it could be fixed with just a few moderate changes? Reform is necessary, but diverting money into private accounts is just too drastic. It could add up to $2 trillion in more debt and lead to huge benefit cuts. For more, visit AARP.org. Paid for by AARP.
It's a fact that there are billions of missing dollars because Bush and Halliburton and the BFEE and everybody that's involved in this, their entire reason for getting Bush in office was to rape the Treasury blind and steal the world's resources. How could anybody argue with that? They fabricated a war so they could steal Iraq's oil. Who can argue with that? The $5 trillion surplus is now $5 or $10 trillion in the hole, and that's not even counting the Iraq war costs that haven't even been calculated yet because it's so never ending and ongoing. We can't let this monkey get his hands on Social Security too. He's raped and destroyed everything he's gotten near. If he can't steal it, he rapes it. If he can't rape it, he blows it up.
Margaret.
Michael Schiavo said that Congress should be ashamed. Listen, he should be ashamed for not giving up his right over to the parents. The parents are ready, willing, and able, and loving to take care of their daughter. And, you know, your heart just aches for them. And why he won't do it is such a mystery. He's moved on to another life, and it's constructive divorce. He's gone. He's not really married to that woman anymore, and so he should hand it over. But the Congress should be ashamed for jumping into this. Most of the time, these things are done quietly between a doctor and the family, the loved ones, and unfortunately, more and more, the insurance companies deciding. But this wouldn't be here if it weren't for a husband who's behaved so badly.
You know, unlike Margaret Carlson, I can't say what's inside Michael Schiavo's mind. But it seems to me if, when they were married, she looked him in the eye and said, if that ever happens to me, I want you to take care of it. You're my husband. I'm asking you to look out for me. Don't let that happen to me. Don't let me lay there for 15 years while the whole nation stares at me and get my goddamn picture off the television again and again if she told him this, or even if she told him just once. Okay, then the poor lady has her heart attack or stroke or whatever, and she goes into this state. Well, I don't think he should have to go the rest of his life without companionship, celibate, childless, lifeless, funless. And Margaret Carlson wants to know why he doesn't turn this over to the parents. Well, maybe he's got a job to do. Granted, he's no longer with her husband and wife, but when they were together we kind of have to assume they made a deal as husband and wife. Jesus, deals between a husband and a wife ought not to involve the parents and the Congress and the president and the de facto Speaker of the House and the governor and every monkey in Washington that wants to score a few points. I think everybody needed to butt the hell out of this, and that certainly includes Jesse Jackson. But don't you hate these whores that get on television and speak as though they've been inside the mind of somebody else? Shame on Margaret Carlson. Now we're going to hear a little bit from Larry Klayman, the man without a penis.
So Terry has the opportunity that my grandmother never had. She has a governor who says that he's on her side, and we expect the governor to act.
I haven't heard anybody mention this lately, but a while back, and I don't know if that's 6 months or 2 years, whatever, but a while back, I remember seeing a headline, six, 8 months ago, nobody ever heard. Well, we have heard of Terry Schiavo. She's been in the news sporadically or whatever. Now and then you'd see a little corner in the paper where they mentioned that poor lady in Florida. And I remember a while back, it came down to Jeb Bush's decision. Somehow the decision landed on his desk. Do we do this or do we do that? And what did Jeb Bush do? What did Mr. Strong Convictions, Mr. Do the Right Thing, Mr. Right to Life, what did he do down there in Florida? He appointed some guy to make the decision for him. So when the shit hit the fan, he could say, I didn't make, this guy over here made the decision. I didn't have anything. You know, isn't it sickening when some bastard spends millions and millions and millions of dollars to run for governor, and then when you go to the governor and we say, we need a decision, he says, well, let me look for someone. Let's put someone else in charge. I don't make the decision. Who, me? I'm just a governor. How do you expect me to make the decision? I'm going to appoint someone else to make the decision. And I thought at the time, well, what a gutless bastard he is. But he's a Bush, so what are you going to say? So now here, all these months or years later, whatever it is, finally it has hit the fan, and there's Jeb Bush acting like, oh, shit, I'm in her corner, me and Terry, it's us against the world, and it goes on and on. But no, he never meant that. He's always a politician. He's a Bush bastard first, scraping up money and power to make his family more powerful so they can manipulate the world energy prices. That all comes first. And if he can hoodwink a bunch of religious crazies, get their votes, that's cool too. But it just kills me again and again how these murdering, thieving bastards can put Christ on their lapel and all the religious people jump in line behind them. That's just crazy, but that's American politics.
The governor has to do what his brother did when the United Nations told him he couldn't go into Iraq. We had an independent authority to do what we had to do in Iraq to protect the American people.
I guess if I thought about it for a while, I could think of something more dangerous than the idea that we have to murder 100,000 people who never did anything to us, who have not attacked us, because what if at some point in the future they acquire a weapon and point it at us and decide to pull the trigger? I don't think the UN told Bush he could not go into Iraq. I think what happened is the entire world begged Bush not to do what he was about to do. The often used metaphor, there's Bush after drinking a quart of Jack Daniels. He's slurring his speech and he's falling down and he's got his car keys and says, I'm going to drive home. And the whole party came up to him and said, George, you're about to fuck up. You're about to make one of the biggest mistakes of your life. Please don't do what you're about to do. And Bush said, fuck you, I can do a goddamn what? And then he drove drunk and killed 100,000 people. And that's what Larry Klayman says Jeb Bush needs to come up with the courage to emulate. Be more like your brother, Jeb. Kill 100,000 people, Jeb. Kill 1,500 soldiers, Jeb. Go, Jeb.
This governor has an independent responsibility to protect a citizen of Florida, Terry Schiavo, and it stems from the Constitution of the United States. Now, when I met with the chief of staff last week, William Large, he told me, he says, well, we're powerless to act because there's a court order, and if we seek to enforce that our rights as governor, then perhaps the sheriff might stop us and there could be a confrontation there might even be gunplay. Now, does anyone believe that if the governor goes over to this hospice and comes here today and says, I want to secure Terri Schiavo, I want to put in the tube and let her be fed and give her water so we can do an adequate investigation of these allegations of abuse, this new information that we have. Does anyone believe that the sheriff of Pinellas County is not going to let the governor exercise his constitutional duty?
Well, let's see. I would imagine that would only be a problem if all the people with the guns took their job seriously. Seems to me when they hand you a gun and a badge and you raise your right hand and you swear to God, take your oath that you're going to follow orders, and then a judge looks you in the eye and hands you a writ, if that's what judges write, that says you will not allow anybody to move or manipulate that comatose woman, and then someone tries to do that which you've been ordered by the state, by the judge, by whoever, you with your gun and your badge, you've been ordered to stop anyone who tries to interfere with the judge's order, and then someone tries to interfere. Yeah, that's the only way I could think. If the people with guns were willing to do their jobs as they swore, that's the only way this could have turned into a bloody gunfight.
If you believe in that, you should be living on Pluto. You shouldn't be living in this country.
Nature's waiting, you know something's wrong. It's nature's waiting, you know, in a song.
Did say on the House floor, Kate, this was not something you can interpret, that she is not a vegetable. She's just handicapped like millions of other Americans walking around today. That is a lie by a man who has never expressed any concern or empathy for disabled people at all. That was all about politics.
That's others terribly may unfair. Have had what
no,
we have to
that
remember
is,
no,
that's
is,
a direct quote. That is just dead wrong.
Well, these decisions, at a minimum, we should be able to agree, shouldn't be split decisions.
You see how they are? Tom DeLay is obviously very, very guilty of lying, big time, 100% black and white lie. There's no way you can say, well, here's what he meant. No, he just fucking lied straight up. And when Al Hunt calls Kate O'Byrne on it, she says, no, that's terribly, terribly unfair. And then she changes the subject. Well, no, lady, if it's unfair, say why it's unfair. If he misquoted him, call him a liar right to his face, right while he's sitting there next to you. You can always tell who's lying in debate when they have to change the subject. Now, changing subjects isn't a guarantee that someone's lying. Sometimes you change the subject to make a point or you make an analogy. Oh, it's like in baseball when you take your foot off the bag and they tag you out. Well, that's sort of changing the point, but it's making an analogy about the difference between having a guarantee and not having a guarantee. But Kate O'Byrne argues unfairly. She has to lie to make her point because she cannot make a truthful point. Al Hunt, in this case, is making a truthful point. And if Kate O'Byrne was an honest person, she would say, yes, he misspoke. Yes, that wasn't his finest moment. Yes, what Tom DeLay said just then was not particularly true. But no, she can't. She has to lie because that's all they've got. And if I'm wrong, somebody call me on it.
These decisions, at a minimum, we should be able to agree, shouldn't be split decisions. Five neurologists testified. Only one judge has ever looked at all the facts.
Wrong. That's wrong. That's not.
The record is five neurologists.
You are wrong,
and they
Kate.
Split three.
Three neurologists, one radiologist, and one general physician. You're just factually
they
wrong.
They should not
no,
split
it was not,
three.
It was
two.
Not five neurologists.
We've had neurologists since look at the
no,
record.
But you said five neurologists. Wrong.
Now, obviously, one of the two of them is wrong. I don't have the time or the staff to get into it and find out how many neurologists looked at the lady, but she just said five neurologists looked at the lady and one judge decided. Now, I've heard 16 judges over the years all made the same decisions. From the first judge they talked to the United States Supreme Court, everybody backed up the husband. As far as who looked at the lady, now come on, these are facts. These are not bendable depends how you look at it kind of things. A man either has neurologist after his name, or dentist, or psychologist, or physiologist. You know, there's a noun that goes after your name that says what you are. The five people that apparently made this recommendation, it's a fact what their credentials are. Between Al Hunt and Cato Byrne, I'm going to trust Al Hunt more. They're both whores, but Al less so. But Cato Byrne, if you have to get up there and flat out lie, you know, if three plumbers and two trash men make a decision and you say it was five neurologists, well, you're just fucking lying. And if you can't tell the truth, that means that your side can't be argued fairly, which means you lost. That means your side loses. Your side fails to hold water. It can't complete an argument. Legitimately, if you have to lie, that means the liberals in this case won. It's pretty obvious. If you have to lie to make your case, that means that your case, as is, won't make itself. So, once again, if you can't make the argument, shut the hell up, get out of the way, and let the people who are honest make the decision so we can move on.